Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. And this has just taken a very alarming turn, even for what we've already been looking at. And actually, this new development, or rather just kind of the expected way this has gone over, I would say, the last so many days, but clearly the direction of this government for quite a while, we can see that it's been leading this way even before the coronavirus ever came around. Now, today we're going to focus about more so about the agenda, but we're going to go over a lot of the, you know, the typical updates and headlines and things for you guys to know what's going on. But again, as I've kind of put this disclaimer out lately, for those that may just be discovering this channel or tuning in for the first time or the second time, make sure you go back and check the channel for all the videos we've been doing over the last so many weeks and the month, as we've touched on pretty much all of the big discussion points around what's going on with the coronavirus, pretty much all of them, gone through the data and asked you to come to your own conclusions about it. Today, we're going to get into the idea of where this seems to be leading in regard to how it's becoming, as you might have expected, another endless war for the U.S. government. How all the rhetoric is like, this is a war and we have to defeat this virus, and how this actually now calling on NATO to help defeat the virus. I mean, none of this is seeming to make sense, but suddenly we're on a war footing. And suddenly all the things that they're calling on and using are also able to be applied to all the rest of their war agendas. Almost like that was part of the plan. Now, it's something that is important for you to consider. But as always, I'm going to go through all this. I'll give you my opinion. But it's important that you come to your own conclusions based on the data, the evidence, for you to look at. That's what this is all about. Presenting the evidence for you to research further for yourself. We're also going to touch on the fact that it seems that, you know, the kind of the ongoing breakup I've been doing lately is the, you know, the headlines and what's really going on, the agendas they're trying to force through, the alarming things about the coronavirus and the manipulation around the narrative, and then seemingly the manipulation in regard to foreign countries that primarily right now seems to be China and Iran and how they're using it against them. But we also have examples today of people seemingly fleeing the country to get toilet paper, or to actually leaving all the way to China because they can't get tested here and getting tested and finding treatment already over in China. And these are coming from Americans, understand. This is, it's very interesting to see this development. Now, right now, anybody that's even daring to criticize the obvious lack of a response by the U.S. government is Chinese propaganda or whatever they want to call it. That's just the usual sidestep and, you know, reflexive dismissal of anything that doesn't align with what they want to think. But that's why you're here today, because you actually think for yourself and you're willing to question the official narrative. Now, I want to start really quickly before we get in, and I'm going to end with a few more things around the foreign policy and stuff that I wanted to include yesterday. And as well, I've included a link right up top today for After Hours Live, which I will be tuning in with B Rich on After Hours Live directly following this podcast. So make sure you check that link out so you can join us over there for more discussion about any number of things. But I want to start today with just a quick example of, I guess this would fit in with the agendas that are being used, one of those being censorship, which we just showed you yesterday. YouTube releasing that tweet saying, hey, sorry, we're all checked out because of virus and our system doesn't know how to follow our own rules, so we're going to be deleting more things than usual. Sorry, I know that's going to be tough for you guys. I'm sure I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what was said. And that's crazy to think about. They're just like, yeah, we're going to basically showing you that they're obviously leaning towards censorship if when they're not there, their own system censors more than usual. It's pretty ridiculous. But just to recognize, somebody shared this with me yesterday after the show, that I know that this is always happening, that your search for things not popping up, but I just want to make sure how usually in the past it's been, you know, you search for coronavirus, despite, let's say my video had 10 million views, most viewed in the world, and you just search coronavirus, and that was the key point of the show, and it's even in the title, it won't come up. It'll give you NBC and Fox News and CNN, even though they have 50% downvote rating and 20 views, it'll still pop them up in the front. But if you search for the exact title, up until recently, that's been perfect. You can find almost anything. But I'll just from the one I did yesterday. I'm just going to remove The Last American Vagabond so you guys can see it. You can search for the exact title. And nothing, it's not even in the listing. I mean, you have to understand that's a conscious choice for them. Like if you maybe think, okay, well, it's a rating thing, you know, the verbatim title, and it's not even showing up. Sometimes in the past, it'll show up at the bottom. But the point is, just not there. You could even add The Last American Vagabond. But nonetheless, the larger point here. Oh, of course, now it pops up. Oh, did you see that? Oh, okay, never mind. I thought it disappeared. Okay, perfect. Now, of course, when I'm live, I show you guys and it's there. Anyway, of course, that's just classic. It's almost like that was intentional. But the point was, nonetheless, that as you're searching for these things, they're not popping up. And I almost feel like that had to happen while you guys are watching. But you all know this is happening. The censorship is real. Of course, I'm telling you I did that about 4 or 5 times before I went live and nothing was there. I searched 5 pages in, didn't show up. Interesting. Anyway, the point is that censorship is happening and that people are actively suppressing this. And you know this based off my video that's currently right now still censored, discussing Dr. Boyle and all the information therein. And I went back and looked at it just the other day. Still says censor due to violation of community guidelines, even though that's an open discussion at this point. It's everywhere and it's going to continue to happen. So recognize that, first of all, that the censorship is coming down hard, as well as every other agenda that we're going to maybe touch on again today that they're using to press in right now. All of some very alarming ones, including some of the things we talked about yesterday, such as the gun grabs and the DNA grabs and the idea of free press crackdowns and free speech crackdowns and, you know, cashless society, biometrics. I mean, any number of things we've been warning about for a very, very long time, including just the militarization, martial law. That's happening as we speak with National Guard marching around, seemingly unnecessary when we, you know, we have plenty of other law enforcement and agencies that we don't have to go to the military, but that seemed to be a choice. Early on, it seemed to be a choice, except the fact that they waited until there was already too much going on to actually do any kind of action. But sure, that was the first thing they did. Military. And clearly, to me, that seems like that was intentional, because obviously now they're driving this in the direction of war footing, of course. Now, yes, this is an op-ed by the mainstream media, but recognize how this always operates. You know, for those that are blinded by the fake resistance and the Trump versus the media illusion, you're not going to be able to wrap your mind around this. But it's always been this case. Well before the age of Trump, it used to be that the independent media could, you know, understand that the media, either side of the fake two-party illusion, is just a conduit. It's a medium by which they send messages, information, disinformation. So when you see things like this, historically speaking, this is always intentional. The media just, yeah, so and we're just going to assume that Frederick Kemp here just woke up today and said, you know, I'm just going to write about why the U.S. should call on NATO, of all things, to help defend Europe, right? Sure, that just makes perfect sense. Certainly possible. But understand that usually there's an impetus behind this. It's somebody driving this to suggest out of nowhere, let's go ahead and plant the idea in the mind of Americans and Europeans, for that matter, that we should just use NATO, you know, the international military, to somehow fight this virus, as opposed to any number of other local institutions, authorities, you know, just local police. I mean, any number of things that would be sufficient. Even their own military, I understand. That's the most ridiculous part. Any number of these countries all have vast amounts of their own military. Yet, nonetheless, this individual is saying the U.S. should call on the NATO for the world to step in to do something about this. Do you realize what kind of control that creates that never really goes away? And that's exactly what we're still dealing with all the way from 9/11. And then understand that that's exactly what they're leading this into. I've seen them increasingly reference this to 9/11 over the last couple of days. Easily 5 or 6 times I've seen this happen. Easily just saying, oh, like 9/11 responses, or sort of like 9/11, or this is more serious than 9/11, or the airplanes have been hit worse than since 9/11. They constantly bring that up and planting it in your consciousness. Because that's what's happening right now. Even no matter what you think about whether this was real, fake, bioweapon, 5G, whatever, they're using what's happening to force in what you're looking at. This is unnecessary. And just like after 9/11, we are still not able to get away from what they forced in, and we're still dealing with it to this day. And also recognize all those things they did made us less safe, just like we're doing now. They made us less safe by creating more terrorism, by creating more chaos, more war, more death, more destabilization. And no one can deny that. Of course, it's always somebody else's fault, and we're still trying to fix all these things 20 years later in Afghanistan. Oh, but it doesn't matter. We're still trying to do good, right? That's always the overarching narrative. Here we are again. Let's call NATO. And here's the real point of why this is exactly what I'm saying. As you see highlighted, Trump should offer the transatlantic community an Article 5 declaration of war. Do you realize what Article 5 is? Article 5 is the article that was called after 9/11. And understand, it was the only time in history since NATO's creation that Article 5 has ever been used. And this guy is literally calling for the U.S. government to initiate Article 5 for the second time in history because of coronavirus. Now, just so you understand what this is, here is the actual document, you know, the North Atlantic Treaty for NATO. Now, Article 5, it recently in discussions in regard to Turkey. Turkey was, I believe, calling on Article 7, possibly Article 5 in regard to Syria, which kind of just got dismissed. But that was when that discussion came up. So the parties agree that an armed attack against one or more of them in Europe shall be considered an attack against them all. Now, please explain for me how this is a fight against coronavirus if it's an attack. Obviously, this guy is subtly suggesting, if not so subtly, that this was an attack on the United States. Now, sure, that's a possibility, but you have to understand that there is pretty much no evidence at all that that's the case. And there's a lot of evidence on the other side to suggest it's the other way around. But of course, this is what media propagandists and stenographers do, right? They continue to slowly suggest these ideas and put them out there. It's called predictive programming. They're slowly putting this out there. Of course, it's not the government, right? Right now, if you accuse them of doing it, of saying this is the group think of the U.S. government, they'd say that's the media and they're all, this is propaganda. Of course. But that's always how this works. They use the conduit of the media to float these ideas. An armed attack. And consequently, they agree that if such an armed attack occurs, each of them in exercise of the right of individual or collective self-defense, recognized by Article 51 of the Charter of the United Nations, will assist the party or parties so attacked by taking forthwith, individually, in concert with the other parties, such action as it deems necessary, including the use of armed force to restore and maintain security of the North Atlantic area. Interesting. So, and also recognize that NATO has clearly gone well beyond their discussed area, but that's a different discussion. But just recognize how interesting that is, that he's calling for a defense against an attack. Now, it says NATO could bend Article 5 to combat a non-state terrorist actor striking to the United States. Why not also to combat COVID-19, right? So it's, again, trying to create the justification to apply something that does not apply, but yet also gives them all the powers that they normally get during those war footings. But let's just pretend it's for coronavirus. But see, this guy's actually asking for them to create another situation like after 9/11, but just say, yeah, we'll just bend it to fit to coronavirus. But do you think they're going to remove all those abilities that they get by allowing this to happen? Of course not. He says, given current transatlantic divisions, there's far greater need now than after 9/11 for a symbolic gesture of unity. Again, planting the idea of 9/11. Guys, this is constant. This is not just coming from this op-ed, understand, okay? This is constant. Government response updates. Trump promises total victory in the war as Pentagon increases role, right? So we already talked about how the military's been, this is the military's job now, right? Because they adjusted the Stafford Act when it was FEMA that was supposed to be in control, and the amendment that they made to the Stafford Act put that amendment was made under the Bush administration, but it was an amendment nonetheless, under the guise of, you know, some kind of emergency, but creating a war footing without you realizing it. They changed it from FEMA being in control to being the Department of Defense, or rather the State Department, I believe. Oh, no, excuse me, the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, we're talking similar things here, but the point is that it's no longer FEMA in control. And Trump just used the Stafford Act, right? They created a state of emergency using the Stafford Act, which then gave the Department of Homeland Security complete control over that agenda, not FEMA. So now we are, as they say, Pentagon increasing the role. We're there already. Total victory in a war against a virus. Yeah, sure, you could frame it like that. But obviously, we can see that there's an agenda behind this as we're calling for, you know, NATO to get involved, as we're clearly seeing that Trump's invoking war powers to combat a virus. That's what's important to recognize here. The way that just understand that even things that we're talking about, whether it's NATO or the Stafford Act or the Defense Production Act, which we're going to talk about next, these things, as applied to the virus, make sense in only very limited ways. Right, but those ways that applies to the virus and actually, you know, using that act to help get more masks and ventilators, which is the argument, but at the same time, it doesn't all of a sudden ignore all the other aspects of the act that allow them just kind of crazy unilateral war powers. But we're not discussing that, right? Well, it's good for ventilators and masks, so move on, right? But what about all the other things it allows and all the other things that don't just disappear? That's what's alarming to me. And understand that that is intentional. Trump invokes Defense Production Act to fight against coronavirus and lack of medical supplies. See, that is the narrative. And sure, that may actually apply. But you see, it doesn't really make sense when you realize, as we just talked about, that people like Jack Ma from China just claimed he sent 500 million masks, or excuse me, 500 million tests and a million masks to the United States. The United States has still acted like that hasn't happened. They didn't even respond. They may still just use them and take credit for it without even acknowledging that he sent them, of course, because China bad guy, right? But that's what's crazy, is that do we need to invoke a War Powers Act? Well, I shouldn't say it like that because it's not the War Powers Act, but an act that utilizes war powers to get more supplies when there's obvious other means to do so. Do we need all of the superfluous aspects that they gain by this, which I'm going to get into, that's pretty damn alarming? We don't, is the point. There's a lot of other means by which this could have been done. And obviously, they chose to use the war-focused mentality. Even de Blasio in New York says, hey, we need military assistance to combat the outbreak. All of the verbiage, you can see that the verbiage, the way that they're framing this, has suddenly shifted into war footing. That is not an accident, guys. That's important to understand. And this is what we're using. The Defense Production Act. Okay. And this has been updated and amended. The last one was in 2009. Okay. This is alarming stuff. Now here, I'm going to go through only a few of these things. Now, I actually just copied some of the terms so I can just search for them real quick and we could jump to the different points. Okay. So like, for instance here, and what's interesting about all of this, well, I hope that you'll actually take the time to read through this whole thing yourself. I really do, because there's so much in here that's pretty damn alarming. Actually, I think this one's before this. But what I did is I went through this entirely. I mean, I went from top to bottom. But I was going through looking for certain things, right? So I'm going to take more time to read through this entirely. But I took a couple hours today and went through this. And some of these things are pretty alarming. Now, obviously, under the guise of gaining ventilators and masks, right? That's what the argument is. But when you find out that there's a lot more going on here, declaration of policy. Okay, it says Congress finds that, and you know, that's how these things always read. They list off a bunch of things. It says finds that the security of the United States is dependent on the ability of the domestic industrial base to supply materials and services for the national defense and to prepare for and respond to military conflicts, natural or man-made or man-caused disasters, or acts of terrorism within the United States. Now, you'll recognize this whole thing is predominantly focused on military engagement, acts of terrorism, even specifically biological discussions. Okay, so only a small part of this is even discussing the idea of disaster, even in regard to viruses, specifically disasters. Now it says, and it goes on to say, acts of terrorism within the United States to respond to actions taken outside of the United States that could result in reduced supplies of strategic and critical materials. Guys, that's really important, including energy necessary for national defense and general economic well-being of the United States. Do you realize what that's discussing? So this gives them the power at this point. We're just at the declaration of policy. We're not even into the meat of this thing. And it's saying that the United States is dependent on their own, you know, their domestic industrial base to supply materials and services for national defense and to prepare for and respond to military conflicts and other acts of terrorism, to respond to actions taken outside the United States. Okay, so suddenly this shifts to saying, well, we can now use this act to justify actions outside the United States. How does that apply to fighting coronavirus in this country? And it says that could result in, so any action that happens outside the United States that potentially could reduce their supply of strategic and critical materials, I don't know, like oil, lithium, opium, all these things we know that they're reaping and harvesting from foreign countries that they're illegally occupying, right? Including energy, things like oil in Syria that they're currently stealing. Right, this basically gives them this carte blanche to basically say, well, that's a strategic interest for us. And because this is somehow hindering our ability to fight what we're doing, well, we need to overthrow this next country to fight for this thing we need to be able to do this. Now, yes, that's a stretch. But you realize that this gives that ability. And they've always stretched these things to apply in however way they want. This is an alarming policy. This act, in a general sense, this is basically production martial law. Okay, as you can see, this is the Production Act. This thing allows the Donald Trump or the Trump administration to basically force businesses different levels of production to do whatever they deem necessary. You don't have a choice. This is production martial law. Now think about somebody like Trump, very business oriented, all about profits and the things they've been dealing with. Do you not think this is going to be used in certain ways to benefit people in the inner circle? I mean, sure, maybe it'll also be something that they need, but maybe they'll also spend twice as much and give it to someone in their circle that they know is going to benefit, and it might give them a job later after they get an office, right? These things, this is how our politics work in this country. So when you give them like martial law, unfettered powers to be able to demand what they want and when and how and where, that's pretty damn alarming coming from this government and in particular, this administration. That's just my take on it. But we're step one, we're looking at this thing saying, okay, well, we can now step outside the United States to make sure we have what we need. This next one says, same declaration of policy. So based on these acts and these terrorism things happening, they say, and they, it says, I'll just read so it's not confusing. The security of the United States is dependent on the ability of their industries to create, you know, maintain their services of national defense in case of these actions. In order to provide for the national security, the national defense preparedness effort of the United States government requires preparedness programs to respond to both domestic emergencies and international threats to national defense. So again, you see how this is branching out now to apply to just anything they claim is some kind of an international threat to national defense. You realize that means basically anything they want it to mean. Anything. So suddenly, because Venezuela is doing whatever they're doing that somehow hinders something that they claim they need, suddenly it's of national interest to overthrow Venezuela to make sure we can fight the coronavirus. Now, again, it's not going to be framed that simplistically and stupid, but it will apply, and they absolutely continue to do this. Historically speaking, this is what they've done more times than I can count. The acts and policies and legislation, things like the Patriot Act and the Freedom Act we're staring at now, are just like this. This is pretty alarming, guys. Let's look at the next one. Now, again, there's a lot in here, and I just kind of tried to give you guys some of the ones that stood out to me as being the most alarming. Now, still in the Declaration of Policy, now it continues on saying, and the diversion of certain materials and facilities from ordinary use, so, you know, whatever you normally make in your business and your normal day and who you normally sell them to suddenly national defense purposes. When national defense needs cannot otherwise be satisfied in a timely fashion. So again, just to see for those, you know, say you're out there in a business and you work in your local town and you produce something that they decide is necessary for them. And suddenly they no longer have what they need. They can now turn around and demand you do exactly what they need. You have to stop your business and produce what they need and what numbers they need at the time they need, no matter what. Now, sure, if you're looking at this from the frame of some kind of World War II mentality that we all need to gather together and fight the bad, evil guys, which, by the way, Trump exactly referenced in his discussion today, which I'm going to actually go over probably tomorrow because I didn't have enough time today, both that and Pompeo's ridiculous speech, both of them today were crazy. But he referenced World War II, saying the same thing, how we all came together during World War II to produce all these ships. And actually, he said that they made a ship a day. I find that to be impossible, personally. I'm not even going to try to look it up, because he seems to be wrong on damn near everything he claims. But that's what they're referencing. They're putting this in your mind. World War II mentality. Okay, but we're talking about a virus here. The enemy is not something we can build ships to beat. Okay, but nonetheless, they're reserving the right to tell you what they need to force your companies to do what they need, regardless of what you need. Of course, always under the guise of war. Now, this one's under the statement of policy. It says, it is the policy of the United States that every effort should be made to foster cooperation between the defense and commercial sectors for research and development and for acquisition of materials, components, and equipment. Now, why does that even include it? Right? Why is the general idea of fostering cooperation between the military and commercial sectors? You know, so fascism, right? Cool. Well, this is totally okay. Let's just blend everything together. The government and their military and then business, right? That's the tenet of fascism, right? The blending of corporate entities with the idea of the government. But so they're saying just generally foster the idea of blending those things. Why does that have anything to do with wartime production? Right? I mean, again, this is alarming to me. And it's just one more thing that they're just including in this. And the point of all of these things we're going through is that most of these have little, if nothing at all, to do with actually combating the coronavirus. Statement is policy again. It says it is the policy of the United States that authorities under this act, and this is the act you've right there, should be used to reduce the vulnerability of the United States to terrorist attacks and to minimize the damage and assist in the recovery from terrorist attacks that occur in the United States, right? So that's not what we're dealing with, right? Unless that's what they're thinking and they're not telling us that, or rather that's what they want to frame this as and they're not telling us that. Sort of like how they were, you know, immediately going into the SCIF, the room specifically designed for bio attacks, to discuss how they're dealing with this, even as they pretend we're not dealing with some kind of bio attack. Like, maybe that's because they are well aware that it was a bio attack, probably because they had something to do with it, and they're in the room necessary for protecting themselves from the bio attack. But they don't tell us that, right? There's plenty of other rooms that could be used, but specifically, I just find that to be interesting. This one specifically says, under this act, what they need to do with this act is use it to reduce the vulnerability of terrorist attacks. Sure, explain for me how that applies, unless that's what we're talking about, right? This doesn't seem to add up. But none of this seems to apply. And this is just far-reaching abilities given to the government. And a government, I might add, that we have every reason to be very suspicious of right now, that's lied to us about false flags in Duma, Afghanistan, the long war, lied about Venezuela, lied about Bolivia, right? That's a big one. Like, that really got missed because of all this. Understand, Bolivia, we had the MIT study. We have numerous things coming out. The OAS has just gone silent. They lied. The U.S. government and the OAS colluded to manufacture fake allegations about Evo Morales, made it all up, conducted a coup, military coup, meanwhile screaming democracy. And now they've proven that they had nothing. It was a manufactured lie. And guess what's not happening? Evo Morales is not going back into office because they don't care about the rules of law or the rules of the election. They're past it now. Somebody else is in charge, and all they're going to say is democracy and freedom as you try to tell them they cheated and they lied, right? That's crazy, right? But all these things are happening. This next one says, same thing, statement of policy. It is the policy of the United States that in order to ensure productive capacity in the event of an attack on the United States. See how this is all framed, guys? All of this is framed about being attacked, about basically as if this was an attack on the United States. Now, trust me, that is not an accident. They want people in their minds to take this as the idea that this was either an accident from somebody else or an attack on this country. China bad guy, right? That's what that's meant to be, despite all the evidence suggesting otherwise. It says, in order to ensure productive capacity in the event of an attack on the United States government should encourage the geographic dispersal of industrial facilities in the United States to discourage the concentration of such productive facilities within limited geographic areas that are vulnerable to attack by an enemy, right? I mean, this is all about defense in some kind of an attack. The whole thing. Now, we get into some more alarming stuff as we go forward, because this is really early on this thing. Again, we haven't even gotten to the real meat of this thing. First one, priorities and allocations. Priority and contracts and orders. Now, this is where it gets really interesting to understand that this whole thing gives the president specifically just unparalleled powers in dictating production in any way, shape, or form. Now, coming from a person that obviously has a lot of money and interests involved in his personal businesses, yeah, sure, his kids are running them or whatever you want to look at that. Obviously, there's money to be made here. Billions and billions of dollars for the future. I mean, we just talked about the idea of Boeing. I mean, the ridiculous nature of the fact that Boeing was lying to the FAA, got people killed, they got caught for it, right? Then they have multiple crashes because of actual problems that they failed to disclose, and suddenly we're about to bail them out because coronavirus. Well, of course, along with all the other airlines, but Trump just couldn't get Boeing out of his mouth. He just kept saying Boeing. Boeing, we're going to make sure Boeing's doing, they're the greatest company in the world. Yeah, well, they let people die because they lied about stuff. That's probably not the best company in the world, but we're going to pay for it out of our pockets. Why? Because they're the manufacturer of U.S. munitions. That's why. Because they're controlled and operate. And, you know, like, think about the idea of how important that is for a country that runs and operates in the blood of other nations. This is a war-focused country. That's why that's happening. So giving them this power to dictate who succeeds and who doesn't, think about that. Now, it says allocation of materials and services. It says the president is authorized to acquire that performance under contracts or orders, other than contracts of employment, which he deems necessary or appropriate to promote the national defense, shall take priority over performance under any other contract or order. See which kind of power that gives you? So he can suddenly bump up things that benefit people he knows and people in his circle and people that are going to benefit him
or rather people that are benefit his administration, or people that will help votes, or other members of Congress who he needs to pass some other bill down the line. And so he pushes forward a contract that helps their business or their company. You see what I mean? There's so much insider action happening here on a daily basis, and this just throws it off. This just completely takes it off the rails. Like, right now, I mean, this is just all governments for that matter, but our government is ripe with corruption, like overflowing, like festering with disgusting amounts of corruption in every possible way. And we're just handing them on a platter the ability to do and make use this to make as much money as they could possibly make out of this situation. And for the purpose of assuring such priority to require acceptance and performance of such contracts in order to prefer in preference to other contracts or orders by any person he finds to be capable of their performance. Right, it's just completely up to them. Now, this is where it starts to get a little bit alarming, more so than just about everything else we're looking at. And this kind of aligns with, you know, like we just saw in the Illinois state of emergency that said, well, you know, control your access to food and gasoline and possibly remove your guns. But we won't do that. It's just there in case we want it, right? Section 102, hoarding of designated scarce materials. Interesting. In order to prevent hoarding, no person shall accumulate in excess of the reasonable demands of business, personal, home consumption. So right now, they're telling this is passed, understand. So now you're not allowed to take more than, you're not allowed to take as much as you think you need if that's more than they tell you you can have, right? This is martial law stuff, guys. I mean, you're not in control anymore. You don't have the choice to do this for your own family if it goes above that they tell you you can't have. And understand, yes, there are penalties. Or for the purpose of resale. So I agree with that, but I don't think it should be legislated, right? I think if you want to be a disgusting human being and buy up all of the Clorox wipes and then sell them at twice the three, 10 times the price to people who are struggling, right? Then you just have to deal with that when you meet your maker. I don't think that should ever be legislated, right? That's the kind of thing you have the option to do. You're free in the illusion of freedom. So you should be able to go buy as much as you want, right? You just have to deal with being a bad person. But legislating it. So now you can't buy for your family as much as you think you need if they think that's too much, right? Or for the purpose of resale, if you want to make money in the excess of prevailing market prices, materials which have been designated by the president as scarce materials. So, you know, masks, things like that, or materials, the supply of which would be threatened by such accumulation. Interesting, again, recognize how they were screaming at us not to buy masks. And now obviously that we all need masks. I think that was intentional, guys. I mean, how would they not think we don't need masks? I mean, it just seems stupid. We're dealing with an obvious influenza-like disease. So I don't get that. And that our own Surgeon General was saying, seriously, guys, stop buying masks. And then like a week later, they were like, we all need masks because here's how it spreads. That's crazy. But the president shall order published in the Federal Register in such other manner he may... the president shall order, published in the Federal Register and in such other manner as he may deem appropriate, every designation of materials and accumulation of which is unlawful. So anything they designate, you're not allowed to, you know, stockpile, is now against the law. That's pretty crazy. And guess what the penalty is? Any person who willfully performs any act prohibited, or willfully fails to perform any act required, that's pretty alarming, right? So trust me. As we go forward, there are things that are required. And if you don't do what you're told, well, yes, you also get penalized. By the provisions of this title or any rule, regulation, or order thereunder shall upon conviction be fined not more than $10,000 or imprisoned for not more than a year or both. What do you know about that? So potentially a year in prison, $10,000 or less on both, but sometime, some money, if you don't do what you're told. If you buy more than you're told you're allowed to buy in, you know, this wonderfully free country. Now, limitations on... Oh, actually, hold on. I'm not going to go through everything. That's right. Let me jump to the next one. Civil personnel. Now, by the way, I understand the mentality that this is a, you know, an emergency situation. That's what they think anyway. And that's what they're telling everybody. And that we need to do this because we're all in danger, right? But that's always how this goes. And that's why I'm constantly telling everybody they use fear. They use your emotions to manipulate you. And like, look, even if you believe 9/11 was exactly what they told us it was, Do you agree with everything they did after that? Do you agree with all of the actions and all of the restrictions and loss of rights that followed? I mean, if you do, I don't know why you're watching the show. It's crazy because there's no way. I mean, 9/11, or rather the Patriot Act specifically and the actions they took after that, in every possible way made us less safe and removed our rights and restricted what we know as our freedoms in this country. And everyone has continued to point out that that was one of the most unconstitutional acts was ever passed in this country. Right? So no matter what you thought about why it happened, that's the same argument. What, no matter what you think about coronavirus, what this is and how they're applying it is crazy. And it is alarming because the precedent, how they've acted like this in the past, gives us every reason right now to say they're going to do the same thing now. And they're going to use it to apply more control and more restrictions and more loss of rights under the same guise of fear and you know, danger. You're taxed, you're uncertain, you're scared. So let us do this for you, right? But don't do anything else because then you're going to go to prison. Civil personnel, it says any officer or agency head may, I'll make sure I didn't skip anything. I feel like maybe I was going to keep going. Yeah, okay, let's keep going. So civil personnel, any officer or agency head may appoint civilian personnel without regard to Section 5331. Now, I'm not going to go through all these side ones. There's one that I'm going to show you, but it's always important to look at what those are, right? To go in and look at what Section 533 is. That's usually when you find how these things are kind of subtly put in there, when you look and find out, oh man, that's really a big deal. That's why they didn't list it. They just said, yeah, Section 533. But appoint civilian personnel without regard to that section, United States Code, and without regard to the provisions of Title V. So I found this to be interesting, you know, so just appointing civilian personnel as they see fit. Fix the rate of basic pay, this is the one I wanted to read, for such personnel without regard to the provisions of Chapter 51, right? So that I find, again, it's just very odd to me the way this is being settled to where they can start giving people positions and then restricting their pay to a very specific amount relating to classification and general sub-schedule pay rates, except that no individual so appointed may receive pay in excess of the annual rate. It's odd. I mean, I found that one to be interestingly odd. Here, this one right here. Yeah, this one is interesting. See, a lot of these are odd stuff. So this one is investigations, records, reports, subpoenas, right to counsel. See, again, hold on. I feel like I skipped something here. Just want to make sure I didn't just jump past a bunch of stuff. Because I remember in the beginning I was rolling through this when I first started. And I kept reading it and was going like, whoa, that's crazy. Hoarding penalties. Oh, that's right. See, I did. So I was going to, so before I jump to that next one, let's go through some of these. This is the whole bulk of it. And I jumped right past it. And that's why I just gave myself the markers and I was supposed to keep going. I forgot about that. So we were at penalties last time. So we talked about hoarding of designated materials and the penalty for it, right? Now it's here, it gets into limitation on actions without congressional authorization. Now this is odd. Okay. It says wage or price controls. No provision of this act shall be interpreted as providing for the imposition of wage price controls without the prior authorization of such action by a joint resolution of Congress. Okay, so that one basically says, and that's good. I mean, that's saying basically they can't basically create price controls without Congress being involved. But this next one has a weird caveat, which I thought was interesting, specifically listing chemical or biological weapons. It says no provision of Title I of this act shall be exercised or interpreted to require action or compliance by any private person to assist in any way in the production of or other involvement in chemical or biological warfare capabilities. So that's where that should have ended. But then it says, unless authorized by the president. What? How does that even make sense? So you're literally saying that chemicals, so both, but understand, creating biological and chemical weapons are supposed to be off limits, right? That's the lie. They say, oh, well, you know, they're both signed on these conventions and they pretend what they're doing with these labs is making vaccines, but they're really making weapons, then making vaccines to protect themselves. There's no possible use to make a vaccine for something you create in a lab because the odds of it popping up naturally are just ridiculous. So the point is that they're saying that we won't force anybody to make chemical or biological weapons unless the president decides it's necessary. How in the world is that even included in this? And how in the world is it included when that's illegal? That seems crazy to me, especially this, that we're dealing with something like this right now. presidential power to ration gasoline among classes of end users unaffected. It says, nothing in this act shall be construed to authorize the president to institute without the approval of Congress to promote the rationing of gasoline among classes of end users, designation of energy as a strategic critical material. Now, this is where it ties in with the going. Remember, we talked about the fact that they made sure to point out that they can apply this to being abroad. So if there's something happening abroad that affects their necessity, their need for a strategic resource, right, that they can go abroad and deal with that. Now, this is saying the designation of those energy strategic and critical materials. It says for purposes of this act, energy shall be designated as a strategic and critical material. So that just becomes anything, any kind of energy, gas, oil, lithium, gold, silver. I mean, any kind of thing you can use and apply to create things. I mean, that's a stretch, obviously. I'm talking about electronics and stuff, but that's how they use these things. After the date of the enactment of this section, that's the past dates, by virtue of such designation, grant any new direct or indirect authority to the president for the mandatory allocation or pricing of any fuel or feedstock or electricity or any other form of energy. And remember, we just said that they have the ability, based on this act, to just designate some foreign act or some foreign resource as some kind of national security necessity. Strengthening domestic capability. Utilizing the authority of this title, any or other provision of law, the president may provide appropriate incentives to develop, maintain, modernize, restore, and expand the productive capacities of domestic resource or sources for critical components, critical technology items, materials. I mean, this is just everything. They have the ability to basically reshape our entire production and economy in this country. Now, think for a moment how important this is in the face of what this country is going through. The fact that we are obviously in a really bad way in regard to our production and our economy. That's not what they want you to believe, but that's what's happening. Now, this is what there's this obvious battle with China in regard to things like this, right? This the battle for preeminence. One of the biggest arguments for what's going on in China is the suggestion this was meant to collapse their economy in the midst of this battle. So now you're basically somehow finding your way into an act that allows them to just reshape the production in this country to benefit exactly what they want and how they want and when they want because of this coronavirus. Now talk about the exact, if they could have pictured exactly what they wanted from this, there you go. Again, could have been just all this just another in a long stretch of happy coincidences, or this seems to be exactly what they couldn't have planned this better. Critical components and critical technology items. Maintenance of reliable sources of supply, right? All of these things, you can imagine how this applies to, I mean, think about how many things they need that are coming from overseas. Even China, understand. We just talked about pharmaceuticals. We talk about rare earth minerals, right? These things apply to the military, and they're using a military footing to fight a virus. So if they need rare earth minerals to fight this virus because they're using the military, well, does that mean that they then would necessitate that they need, I don't know, any number of locations in Africa, any number of locations in South America to apply to lithium or coltan or cobalt or any number of things that they absolutely need for the military? I mean, this is exactly how this can and probably will be applied, because this doesn't just disappear tomorrow or when the coronavirus goes away. There's a lot of stipulations in this that make this last longer than the actual event. That's what's pretty crazy to me. Modernization of small business suppliers. Authority. Now, that is interesting in a way, too, because, you know, how that will actually be applied and how it gets used. You know, it seems in a way trying to sweep in small businesses into the larger entity. Authorities to requisition and condemn expansion of productive capacity. Presidential authorization for the national defense. Expediting production and deliveries or services. Now, let me make sure. I believe that was the last one. So let me jump back to where I was here. We'll continue where I was. Okay. Investigations, records, reports, subpoenas. That says the president shall be entitled with this act is in effect and for a period of 2 years thereafter. Think about that. So no matter what happens, this act and the effects that he initiates will be for a period of 2 years thereafter. All right. This is right. Think about that. By regulation, subpoena, or otherwise, to obtain such information from, require such reports, and the keeping of such records by, make such inspections of the books, and on and on and on, shall be entitled with this act in its effect and for a period of 2 years thereafter. Jurisdiction of courts, injunctions, let me see, make sure. Okay, only got two more to look at, and then we'll jump forward. Exemption from the Administrative Procedure Act. Any regulation issued under this act shall not be subject to sections 551 through 559. So this is the example I was going to show you. So you go, okay, so anything that they issue, any regulation they issue under this act, anything, that's a pretty broad sweeping thing with all the things that are going on in this, right? So anything that they decide to pass, it's not subject to whatever they just listed there, right? So what is that? Well, here's the main point. U.S. Code, and this is 552. And remember, it says through 551 through 559, right? You can see here's the bulk of it. But here's the main point. Each agency shall make available to the public information as follows, right? Each agency shall separately state and currently publish in Federal Register the guidance publics for descriptions of the current the central and field organizations, the statements of general course and methods by which its functions are can, like how it operates, what's going on, basically explaining what this is, right? So what the point is now they anything they pass through this act, they basically don't have to inform you about. They don't have to list all the things that they're listing here. You know, the agencies involved and the methods by which they'll be used and, you know, everything about that. They don't have to do. Isn't that lovely? So all the things that they fly through here that you're not paying attention to that last a long time, we just don't get really any details on. I wonder why that would be. Right? I mean, that seems pretty damn ridiculous. Last one. And there's plenty more in here we could look at, to be honest. Authorization of appropriations, availability of funds. There are hereby authorized to be appropriated such sums as may be necessary and appropriate for the carrying out of the provisions and purposes of this act. Well, isn't that pretty damn broad? By the president and such agencies as he may designate or create. So he could just create new groups and new agencies and basically appropriate sums as necessary. So another cash free-for-all, right? Funds made available pursuant to this paragraph for the purposes of this act may be allocated or transferred for any of the purposes of this act. Lovely. You see what that says? Right? That's so it's just anything. Anything within this act, anything they contort it into meaning, they can just make money for and pay for it and not even have to tell you why and how and the methods they're using. Guys, this is crazy. This is production martial law. Do you realize what's kind of happening is we're seemingly creating martial law aspects in different areas and kind of combining them in the middle, right? So we're not just declaring martial law, but we're saying, okay, well, here's, you know, we're National Guard because virus. And then, oh, well, we need production over here. So production martial law. Oh, well, we're going to crack down on the internet with the Earn It Act because that's danger and this, you know, whatever reason. And now that's internet martial law. Suddenly we find ourselves in a situation of martial law without an actual declaration. Pretty damn interesting. Now, as Spiro mentioned, and absolutely correct in saying so, based on that act, he says, well, the party's over. We are all renters. The banks and governments owns it all. They own you. Fascism is here. And he's referencing the point. Now that President Trump signed the Defense Production Act and can legally force any business into government servitude, the next step is asset forfeiture. Stay asleep, America. I mean, really, guys. There's no way this is what we need right now. This is crazy. So you're going to pass this crazy broad sweeping production act to make sure we have masks and ventilators? I mean, is that really what anybody believes out there? Are you telling me that we couldn't just make these companies, you know, request or continue to make, I mean, really even just force these companies to make them specifically because we need them for this virus? I'm not even saying that should be needed or allowed, but why would you need to make this entire broad sweeping act effective to be able to make more masks and ventilators, especially as we have foreign countries like Iran and China, or rather, excuse me, China and Cuba with plenty of masks and help that they're offering, but the U.S. government pretends it's not happening. Why? Because they want to be able to pass this act. That's what this is, guys. This is another power grab, just like everything else we're looking at. Money grabs, power grabs, DNA grabs, everything. It's all happening in front of you right now while everyone's consumed with what's going on. Now, on this topic of manipulation and false certainty, which is what's consuming everything today, guys, everything. I wanted to talk about this, not necessarily because the person it came from, but the point is this is what I'm talking about, okay? She puts out this tweet today, says, this is the story I've been working on for days. This is 1,000% correct, right? Not saying, please think for yourself, research this for yourself, you know, come to your own conclusions. No, but saying, this is the facts, trust it, share it. That's it. No source material, nothing, just claims, just words. And well, because I agree with those words, it has to be true because she said it was 1,000% true. So share it. What she says is, this explains all my words with no source material. It explains why Chinese propaganda videos were shown to Italians as they were encouraged to hug a Chinese to eliminate social stigma and responsibility from China, right? Of course, because responsibility from China is exactly what's happening, right? No. Because that hasn't been proven. In fact, all the evidence is showing that that's clearly not. And what's even more frustrating is that Trump actually just said today, again, which I'm not going to show because I don't have enough time, is that ultimately that Trump keeps saying, well, no one's responsible, right? We're not blaming anybody. But Pompeo has literally used the term blame twice now. Yeah, you guys are blaming somebody. You're clearly blaming China for something that hasn't been proven to actually have started there. But even if it did, how do you blame somebody for a virus, especially talking about things like H1N1 that started in this country and spread around the world and no one seems to make it the same scenario, right? Because it's always different when it's the adversary of the U.S. empire. Always. Always, always. But of course, blaming China, it's their fault, right? But the point is, that's what it goes on to explain how this whole manipulation is about the Silk Road and how China has taken over Italy and they've taken over their industries, but somehow nobody in China, all the Italians didn't care, but that's because they don't realize, right? Or maybe because it's not actually happening. Now, sure, is it possible? Of course it is. Is China, would I put it past China from doing the exact same thing that the US government's doing around the world? No, of course not. But see, that's what she's explaining. What she's talking about is literally what the US government is doing to countries around the world all over the place. Way more examples of that. But the point is, this is nothing. There's nothing to verify this. Even the tweet that she references in this, the tweet that she uses to back up what she's saying, is just the same thing. It's a picture with some words saying the same thing, that they sold their goods and China's taken over Italy and that's why it's happening, because China bad guy and they spread it. And even this person says, the first comment below, this is so fake, I can't even wrap my head around it. You're giving no proof about what you're saying, not even a web link. You're just stating this as purest of truths. Right? I mean, this is crazy, guys. This is what we're talking about. This is false certainty or gaslighting or whatever you want to say it, trying to get clicks by making up information. The bottom line is, if someone is selling you the absolute truth, especially with nothing to back it up but their word, they're probably deceiving you for one reason or another. Or maybe they're deceived themselves. But the point is that there's no way that people can be absolutely certain about what's going on. It's just not, unless they're guilty of making this all happen. Because the evidence is not there. Rather, excuse me, the proof is not there. The evidence is beginning to show, and it's pointing to something very different than what she's forcefully saying is 1,000% correct. Excuse me, 1,000% correct. Now, getting on to more agendas that are being forced in here, guys. As it looks like, just make keeping an eye on my time here. There's a lot of this happening. So many things, and I'm even beginning to see smaller stuff, which may just be ongoing agendas, but still are being bolstered by this whole event. See something, say something. We literally have Californians calling the cops on their neighbors because they hear them coughing. Ask yourself, what do you think you're going to accomplish by that? First of all, they don't even have a treatment. They don't even have a vaccine yet. And even if they did, I don't know why in the world you'd want to test that, be a guinea pig for their ridiculous gene editing thing. They don't even know what they're dealing with. We've removed all the red tape. Yeah, because that sounds super safe, right? We're just going to force this thing through. Even though all the vaccines in the past, even with H1N1, have caused various diseases and problems. That's a very easy fact to look up. They just don't like to talk about it. But sure, call the cops on them. What are they going to do? They're going to haul them into prison because they're coughing? You know that people do cough sometimes, right? I mean, this is crazy, but this is what they're creating, right? But see, when they call, they point to the independent media and act like we're radicalizing people. What, this is what's radicalized. Things like that. Do you think anyone in the independent media out there is saying is other than all the ones I argue are just part of the mainstream at the same time? Do you think any of those out there are getting people to call the cops their neighbors for possibly being sick? No, guys, that's coming from the mainstream media. That's crazy. Here's Mark Cuban, and this is a very interesting one in regard to the money transfers. We just talked about yesterday, about all the money that's changing hands right now, right? Not even talking about the Defense Production Act, which is going to be a huge boon for these people. But we're talking about an $8 billion coronavirus bill. We're talking about a $10 billion, Mnuchin was talking about $10 billion for bonds or funds. I don't want to misquote it. I forget what for something in regard to, I believe it was bonds, but I don't want to misquote it. But no, that's actually, there was a $700 billion thing coming from the Fed about bonds, right? Mnuchin was talking about $10 billion for something else and saying up to buying $1 trillion worth if that's necessary. We're talking about an $800 billion stimulus package. I mean, there is crazy amounts of money flying around for what? I mean, think about how much money is already flowing in regard to war. Do we really need to maintain all of our illegal wars right now? Well, no, but sure, let's make sure we're spending $1 trillion on that and then just steal all the money from your pockets to make sure we can pay for something we should have already been prepared for. But here's the point, as Mark Cuban is saying, on virus bailouts, no more buybacks. Not now, not a year from now, not ever. I mean, what he's saying right now, what they're doing is crazy. They are stealing your money to save their own faults. It's just like 2008, same thing. They stole money from your pocket to pay off for their gambling, which is what this all is. As he says, we already know what's going to happen. A year after this plays out, we'll look back and say, why didn't we consider the workers? The everyday hourly worker, the people making minimum wage, why didn't we reward them as well? Right? Because this is the problem. You know, they're all saying, yeah, here's $1,000 check. Which I'm sure, because that's going to save us forever for the rest of the year, right? Meanwhile, the billions and billions and billions of dollars are all going to be going to the banks. And of course, you know, the small businesses like McDonald's and Burger King, as Trump was talking about, all those small businesses, right? And all the Boeings and the airliners and all the things that they want. But that $1,000 check, I'm sure that's going to help that guy who just took out a loan for a small business and suddenly this all happened. Right? I mean, of course, they're acting like that's going to happen. But as we're finding out, when you actually dig into this stuff, it doesn't. And it's going to leave these people struggling, just like I promised you. He continued, he says, and so let's get ahead of it. And whatever we do in a bailout, make sure that every worker gets compensated, right? Exactly. But that's what this is, guys. This is a bailout, just like with 2008, just under the guise of fighting the coronavirus, right? That's why people like Boeing are going to be saved by this. But if you're going to do that, then you should help everyone. But that's not what's going to happen. That's what he's saying. This should be going in every American's pocket, not just $1,000, but a hell of a lot more. And is treated equally, and that the executives don't get rewarded extra to stick around because they have nowhere else to go. Since the government has taken their risk out of their equation. So let's treat all workers equally. He's right too, right? When bad things happen, the government steps in, saves them. So they can risk all they want using your money. And then when they lose it all, the government pays them back anyway. He says, whatever it is that a company does for their executives, they should be required to proportionally do the same thing for everyone else that works for the company. Period. End of story. No buybacks, not now, not a year from now, not 20 years from now, not ever. Effectively, you're spending taxpayer money to buy back stocks, and for me, that's just the wrong way to do that. For everyone, that's the wrong way to do that. That's elite. That's crazy. I mean, that's what they're talking about. The Fed just bought $700 billion in bonds. Guys, this is a bailout. That's what we're staring at. But of course, it's because virus. Now, here's the U.S. government and another agenda, right? Here's one of the smaller ones, right? So we know that Afghanistan's been had the deal, or the so-called peace deal, which I'll talk about in the end here, where they're still bombing, by the way. But remember how this went. They made the deal, right? They dealt with the Taliban, you know, the terrorist group that they promised they were going to remove, and they weren't able to beat them. So they're working with them now, because that totally makes sense. So they made a deal with them, and they promised that they were going to release all these Taliban prisoners. But of course, they failed to, you know, actually talk to the Afghan government who was holding those prisoners. And they made the deal, hey, peace everywhere. And then they said, well, we're not releasing those prisoners. Of course, fantastic, right? Because they're hubris. They probably just thought they could do whatever they wanted. It would all work out. But that ruined the deal because they said they weren't going to release them. Of course, now they're saying, hey, release those prisoners urgently because of virus. Not because we need that to make the deal work, right? Not because we're just trying to force this in using the coronavirus as a guise to be able to effectively do what we wanted, right? Of course not. It's all because we're so concerned about those Taliban prisoners during the coronavirus. Like, guys, this is so incredibly transparent. This is everywhere. The U.S. government of all the countries in the world right now is using this in every possible way to press their advantage. Meanwhile, all the people that they claim are evil bad guys are marching around helping people. Now, of course, you could argue that they have some ulterior motive, and maybe they do. It doesn't change the fact that what they're doing is helping. They're bringing masks and bringing tests and doing all kinds of stuff. Meanwhile, the U.S. is casting sanctions on people, which we're going to get to. They cast more sanctions on Iran just today because they're trying to help them, right? There's even ICE agents gearing up to, guess, raid homes during the coronavirus lockdowns. How perfect for them, right? Because no one gets, they're all locked down, and now we're getting to a point to where they might even fine you if you leave your house. Well, too bad. If you're a immigrant that we don't like, we might just crack you down and remove you, right? Now, look, I'm not getting into the discussion of immigration, illegal or otherwise. There's no reason in deviating into that in this topic, because that's a very contentious topic. But the point here is that they're using this situation because they know people can't move to press the advantage. Now, you may even agree with this one, but recognize it's happening everywhere. They're not considering the fact that this is a problem that we need to deal with first and foremost. They're saying, geez, let's use this right now to press everything. And then as an afterthought, we'll deal with whatever we can, right? That's why we're still dealing with the fact that we don't have any tests. Think about the fact that Trump just spoke again today and said, well, we're about to have these new tests and we're about to be there, about to be. You know how many times they've already said we have them all? How many times they've lied and said we already have all the tests and everyone's getting tested and it's already happening? It's not true, guys. And they keep getting caught lying to you. Why would that be? Ask yourself that question. Either they don't want you to know how many people are sick, or they're just that incredibly incompetent. Literally weaponizing coronavirus. Despite one of the world's worst outbreaks of deadly virus, U.S. hits Iran with brutal new sanctions. Think about how ridiculous that is. Even Reuters is pointing it out. The United States imposed fresh sanctions on Iran, keeping up its economic pressure campaign despite an earlier offer to help Tehran cope with the coronavirus, right? We'll help you guys. Pompeo said, he said, we're going to help. They just don't want to accept our help, right? That's what he's saying. Well, sure, but while they're saying that, they're giving them more sanctions that hurt them further and further hurt the populace, right? Those same sanctions that are stopping medical equipment and, you know, coronavirus test from getting through. But we're here to help you guys. Don't you believe me? We lie, we cheat, we steal, but please trust me, right? I mean, it's unreal, the level of dishonesty. And think about what kind of disgusting person it takes to bold-faced lie. Say, we're here to help, and then cast sanctions on the same people. And then turn around and point to the sanctions-riddled problem in the country and say, look at how bad they're doing. That happened in the same discussion today. Right, Iran is openly continuing to say, look, your sanctions are killing millions. And of course, they add more. But no one denies this, guys, other than the U.S. government. Even the U.K. of all people right now is saying, hey, you need to ease these sanctions because we all know the truth and you're killing people. Even the U.K., that's crazy. Understand, this article is riddled with misinformation and lies and propaganda, but nonetheless, the point is that the UK is still saying you should end the sanctions. Unreal. And it's not just Iran, guys. Washington's pushing the IMF. Think how crazy this is. One of these biggest agendas, one of the first things that Guaido said he was going to do was take a loan from the IMF, right? But now when finally that they've pressed this advantage to the point to where Iran and Venezuela are struggling to such a degree that they're actually asking for loans from the IMF because they're struggling, Washington is now telling the IMF, don't give them that money. I mean, that's just that is a disgusting level of vitriol, of just malicious activity, right? That is meant to be malicious. They're asking for money to help dealing with a problem. By the way, a problem that's exacerbated by the U.S. sanctions, just like in Iran. And they're saying, no, don't even give them that money they're asking for. I mean, you just can't get past this stuff, guys. I mean, this is intentionally mean, cruel. And we just talked about this yesterday. Big tech in talks with U.S. government to use your location data to, of course, fight coronavirus, right? But that's not going to go away when the coronavirus does. They're going to continue to use your data, your location, to be able to make sure you're doing what you're told, right? Imagine if you violate the Defense Production Act, and now they have your location data on your phone to know that you are violating it. Well, that's how they're going to get that $10,000 fine and go to jail for a year, because they know you violated it based on your location data. Freedom, right? All these things closing in on us. Just as Venezuela responds its first confirmed case of coronavirus, this is back on the 14th, guess what? Guaido calls for anti-government demonstrations. Because that's the best thing to do. As he says, that's the best way to undermine the government's effort to defend against the pandemic and, of course, facilitate the spread of the virus. Probably the point. How much you want to bet that Guaido wasn't there? Of course, because he doesn't want to get sick. But he's sure as hell going to send out all of their lackeys to make sure things get worse. Because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to press the advantage. Across the board, guys. I mean, we just have to see how obvious this is. Of course, Russiagate all over again. Even more manipulation, as secret EU report is blaming Russia for it now. Of course, because Russia is part of the bad guy team. So it's just pick someone and blame them, right? Iran's not doing it properly. Russia, who's barely even dealing with it, but that's all their fault because they're confusion, panic, and fear, right? No, guys, that's exactly what's happening here. That's exactly what the U.S. government has created with their lack of preparedness and their lies and their covering up information. But somehow it's all Russia's fault. Or China's fault, or Iran's fault, or, you know, whoever they want to point to in the moment. But guess who? It's sure as hell not Trump's fault. It's sure as hell not Pompeo's fault. It's sure as hell anyone's fault other than the U.S. government, of course, right? Because that all perfectly makes sense. It's very clear how obviously they're trying to sidestep responsibility for their lack of preparedness. Now, this gets, when talking about preparedness, this gets even more crazy when you realize that it turns out, based on a real study, they're showing that the flu vaccine that they absolutely forced out and recommended everybody get, even though it really had no effect on coronavirus. So why did that make sense? But they did it. But guess what? Turns out that flu vaccine, in fact, created more risk, created 36% more risk to catch coronavirus. What do you know about that? Now, I want to ask you before I go forward on this, I had an interesting thought on this before I have to rush off here. I had an interesting thought that I'm curious out there. How many of you out there who have had the flu, or rather, let's put it this way. How many people out there who have never gotten the flu vaccine got sick, right? I would like to know if every single person that got sick with this virus was also someone who also got the flu vaccine. And rather, if everyone who didn't take the flu vaccine also just happened to not get sick. Just a thought I had. Of course, we'll never be able to find that out because they'll never give us that information because it probably means something. But how interesting would it be to find out that everyone that took the flu vaccine were the ones that also happened to get this illness? Just a thought. But recognize this. This study, which, by the way, is right here, we'll look at in a moment. It's the exact same thing. This vaccine journal is saying that the flu vaccine increases coronavirus infection risk by 36%. 36! The study published in this journal, peer-reviewed medical journal, titled Influenza Vaccination and Respiratory Virus Interference Among Department of Defense Personnel, this was during 2017-2018, in regard to coronavirus, reveals that influenza vaccination may increase the risk of infection from respiratory viruses, a phenomenon known as virus interference. So they knew about this back in 2018, yet they still told you to get it. Why? Because they're just trying to make money. Because making sales of vaccines is what this is all about. Now, I shouldn't say that in such a broad way. There's probably a lot of other nefarious actions there. One of them was to make sure they sold these vaccines because that's the agenda. And remember, the New York Times, how to prepare for coronavirus, get a flu shot. Of course, even if we didn't know it made you possibly get more sick, why in the world would they tell you to get a flu shot? They know it doesn't make sense. There's no way the flu shot would have any effect on the coronavirus, but they did it anyway. And of course, their actions probably got a lot more people sick. Or rather, their lack of action. But you can see, as the conclusion says, the receipt of influenza vaccination was not associated with the virus interference among our population. Examining the virus interference by specific respiratory viruses showed mixed results. Vaccine-derived virus interference was significantly associated with coronavirus. Not specifically COVID-19, but coronavirus. Now it says, and human metapneumovirus. I looked at that earlier. Metapneumovirus. Excuse me, I can't even say that properly. Metapneumovirus. Metapneumovirus. I think it looks like meta and then like the first part of pneumonia and then virus. I'm probably not saying that right, but it's an odd word. And here's the point. However, significant protection with vaccination was associated not only with most influenza viruses, but also, it was this first part. This part right there. Saying that it was associated with coronavirus. significantly associated with coronavirus. This was 2018. So they know that this idea of, what do they call it? Of virus interference. Their study back then showed this was happening with coronavirus. Yet we pop up with a new coronavirus based in the same vein, SARS, MERS, SARS, same thing. And yet they tell you to get the flu shot anyway. Just reflect on that and how ridiculous it is. And most likely got a lot more people sick if this is what we're looking at. Unreal. Ibuprofen, apparently, by the way, also may worsen coronavirus symptoms, according to the World Health Organization. What is this Frankenvirus that we're dealing with, guys? I mean, how the world does any of this make sense? Any of it, right? Somehow ibuprofen makes you worse. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, this is interesting. Now, this is coming from a former Obama White House cabinet secretary. So obviously, most people are going to be like, oh, it's Obama. He's trying to make Trump look bad. But take a moment out of the fact that look at this in the sense of what he's saying and take it for what it is. Now, obviously, he probably has every reason, every motivation to try to make things up and make Trump look bad. But listen to what he's saying. A week before inauguration, Trump team participated in a tabletop exercise with outgoing Obama team about preparing for a major domestic incident. Which, by the way, I'm sure that it's interesting how many times they've done these preparations for exactly what we're dealing with, and yet he continues to act, and even if this didn't happen, they've had many of these. Event 201 was one of them. They had these exercises, the whole point of which was to be prepared, and yet they continually act like they weren't ready, had no idea this was going to happen, even though they had multiple exercises for exactly this. He says, one incident discussed was a pandemic. I participated in this exercise. He says there were three role-playing scenarios: hurricane, pandemic, and cyber incident. Obama team discussed need to anticipate requirements, stay ahead of challenges, and provide resources quickly. The goal was to acquaint Trump officials with how to coordinate around major events. It says the pandemic role-playing scenario involved novel influenza. We didn't know about that. With Asia and Europe, efficient person-to-person transmissions, insufficient lab capacities, travel bans, lag time before it comes to the U.S., need for vaccine, ventilator shortages. Sound familiar? Now, of course, he could be adding things that weren't there. Certainly possible. The event of a pandemic, Trump team was told. I mean, all these things that we're dealing with now. Right? I mean, just that's very interesting. Take it or leave it. But we know outside of even this that they did in fact have these things happening and they still weren't prepared. Now here we get into the idea of how ridiculous it is that people in this country right now are literally leaving the country to get what they need. Okay, a woman carrying coronavirus, which has been confirmed, flies 13 hours away from Los Angeles to China to seek treatment after being denied the test 3 times in the United States. Okay, so this lady flew to China from LA and has now been tested and is getting treatment. And still people haven't been treated in this country right now. But of course, China bad guy, right? Even if China is bad guy, whatever that would even mean, at the very least, they're still effectively treating people after the fact. And we have barely even been able, we still are not even testing people. Americans are flooding into Mexico in search of toilet paper, food, and water. I can't believe this. People are literally going to Mexico to get toilet paper. Think about how crazy that is. And we're supposed to pretend like this is just this is just the way things went. No, guys, this is an absolute catastrophic breakdown in preparedness. Now, I'm going to skip this one for lack of time because I have to get going. But amid COVID-19 pandemic, Iranian physicians are urging 100 different physicians in Iran. Of course, Iran, it doesn't matter because Iran's lying, right? But 100 physicians. And they're, you know, in regard to how advanced they are, both medically and scientifically, Iran is up there, guys. 100 different scientists are saying that they should immediately shut down all U.S. biological labs. And guy, by the way, I completely agree with that. Meanwhile, here's what Pompeo is doing. Iraqis want a government that upholds Iraqi sovereignty based on basic needs and free blah, 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 right? Basically threatening Iraq. I showed you this the other day, right? I can't believe that Pompeo can't stop gushing warmongering sentiments in the middle of all of this. Like he just cannot stop casting accusations and accusing people of doing... People are dying because of actions that they're taking right now. And he can't stop pressing in the knife. Why? Because that's who this person is. And it's becoming very clear. Right? This is a failed threat to Iraq's new government. But they need to basically do what they're told. U.S. airstrikes against five Qatar Hezbollah targets were meant to deter further attacks, right? All the way back then. Remember all that time they bombed all these locations because they said they were trying to stop this from happening? Well, guess what? It clearly didn't, right? Because the PMU, who's not Iran, is continuing to bomb them because, or rather that's the argument, there's probably ISIS doing it so they can have that excuse. But obviously, one way or the other, it didn't actually stop anything. We've seen continued attacks of these rockets. And so weirdly enough, they always seem to just happen to leave their trucks and launchers there. By the way, that seems to be something that's clearly embedded in the ground. How in the world does that make sense? But sure, they just had this embedded in the ground. They used it to fire these rockets and they left it there and they just ran away. Guys, I mean, there's so much propaganda flying around about these Katyusha rockets. It's ridiculous. Again, apparently yesterday, more rockets hit some base. No one seems to care about this right now because everyone's distracted. The U.S. is moving Patriot missiles into Iraq because we respect your sovereignty. As Iraq says, consequences are coming. Iraq, right? Not Iran, not the PMU, but Iraq's government. And now as these consequences come, they're going to blame it on Iran as Iraq is forcing them out of their country. And as Pompeo says, oh, well, we're going to act in self-defense as we're illegally occupying Iraq and as we're bombing your military and as they fight back. We're claiming self-defense just like Israel does. Isn't that interesting? I shouldn't have to explain to someone like Pompeo that there's no such thing as self-defense when you're illegally occupying a country and bombing their military. But you know what? I'm pretty damn sure he knows that. Iraq is now about to complain to the UN Security Council. Right? That's happening as we speak. They're complaining to the United Nations about the illegal aggression, not from Iran, not from the PMU, but from the U.S. government in their country. But of course, all the U.S. government can say is that we're fighting for freedom and your sovereignty and Iran bad guy. As everyone points to the U.S. government. Iraq's envoy to the U.N. is actually threatens to arrest U.S. troops. Arrest them for attacks on what they're naming in this article, pro-Iran militias. But we're talking about the Iraqi military, all right? I mean, think about that. So this is how I'm going to read this. I keep saying I'm going to do this. Iraq envoys to the U.N. threatens to arrest Israeli-backed militias, otherwise known as the U.S. military, for attacks on the PMU, right? That's as stupid as saying pro-Iran militias. You're talking about the Iraq military, right? They're threatening to arrest them now. Guys, come on. Here he is again. 9 years ago today, the Syrian people began protests. Lie, 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 lie. All that's a lie. Everything from there is a lie forward. They've already been showing these protests were fake, manufactured by the U.S. government. They hurt people themselves, blamed Assad, and then moved forward. Just like the false flag in Douma. Right? He goes on to lie about the fact, you know, chemical attacks, you know, like the one in Douma we know wasn't real, the barrel bombs, which have been shown to be manufactured fake. All these things are lies, guys, all of it. But meanwhile, in March 15th, when Pompeo is continuing to attack people during this case while they're stealing their oil, right? Pompeo just discussed this in his hearing briefing today, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow. He actually just claimed that what they're doing by stopping a ceasefire, even though they really didn't do that, is keeping them from having what they need in the middle of a cold winter. He really said that while they're literally occupying their oil, which is what they need to keep warm during the cold winter. Can you believe stuff like that? Now, this is interesting. Obviously, I'm trying to rush through these at the end. Five killed in rare rocket attack on Turkish-occupied Afrin City. Doesn't that sound interesting? Yeah, rocket attacks, right? How much you want to bet they're Katyusha rockets? Not saying that yet. But how much you want to bet this is the conflation of the two narratives, right? So now we're going to start having rockets fly in Syria against Turkey, and guess who they're going to blame? Iran. Suddenly, Iran's firing the same Soviet-era rockets that they don't need, that they have far better rockets or missiles to use, but somehow they're firing these useless rockets that have really no effect on all the locations that the U.S. government can use to justify further action against Iran. Weird how that works. Weird how there's never investigation. Weird how they always just blame someone and move forward. It's not weird at all. In fact, that's what they always, always do. Here is an example of protesters in Syria, right? Just normal protesters fighting the evil bad guy government. Protesters cutting off the M4 highway using tires and weirdly jihadi groups working with them. Isn't that funny how that works? Oh, just normal protesters, but they're working with jihadi groups to fight the bad guy Syria. Not just normal protesters then, wouldn't you say? And meanwhile, and while this is all happening, U.S. airstrikes continue in Afghanistan. despite the peace deal, right? Despite the deal was they're trying to force through with their their lies, right? Please let these prisoners, because coronavirus, but they're over here literally, whoops, don't look yet, literally bombing Afghanistan. You know why? Because they know no one's paying attention. Bombing them while they're supposed to be in a peace deal. That's classic for them. This is even more disgusting. And I'm probably going to talk about some of these more tomorrow. These sickening videos of Australian troops murdering unarmed Afghan civilians are a disgrace to his country. This is a real story, guys. This is nope. And the media, of course, would never dare to talk about this. This is crazy. They are murdering these people in on live video. And you can see no weapon, no radio. It's a civilian. And it's the Australian military in Afghanistan working on behalf of the U.S. More civilians being killed, right? For freedom. Totally normal. Disgusting. And by the way, to end here, as I said in my tweet, it's official, guys. We're all doomed. We're saved. Marvel baffles fans as it unveils Snowflake in safe space. This is not a joke, guys. Non-binary bully fighting superheroes. Aren't we? This isn't just the cutest thing in the world, right? This is the end of Marvel. If I can't believe this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Snowflake and say, I mean, I don't even think the people that believe in these things will think this is cool. This is so ridiculous. Just to end with some levity for you here, guys, this is official. The world is going to come to an end because everything is broken. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm sorry to rush off, guys. I've already taken way too long. I'm sure Brian is pissed at me. I'm jumping over to After Hours Live to get jumping on our show. Join us over there so we can keep talking about more things. I love you guys. As always, please keep researching this. Please keep spreading the information. I'll break these all down tomorrow. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Now, I want to make the case for secrecy in government when it comes to the conduct of national security affairs and possibly for deception.
You would lie in order to preserve the truth.
If I had to say something I knew was false to protect American national security, I would do it.
But you took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution mandates certain openness and certain fairness. You're willing to do away with that in order to achieve a temporary military goal?
The Constitution's not a suicide pact.
But you took an oath to it.
I don't make any apology for it.
I know that standards have slipped over the last few years in Washington, but for a lawyer, you're remarkably cavalier with any idea of justice.